immediately. This word is used in this call story of the first disciples of Jesus, that their response to Jesus' invitation to follow me, I will make you fish for people, is immediate. Simon and Andrew, James and John, hear this invitation from Jesus, and they immediately follow. Jesus just simply says, follow me. There's no great pitch. There's no defined benefits that come with this calling. They're not sure where they're going or how long this journey will last or what they will even do. But they immediately follow. I was thinking of this call story and Jesus' invitation to the disciples to follow him. And I had a distinct memory from my teenage years. I have an older brother, 3.5 years older than I, and at some point in his high school life, he discerned that he was open to serving in the military. And so we would have military recruiters, Air Force, Army, Marines, who started showing up at our house. I remember we had a dinner, our whole family, and there was uniformed military folks, and they were trying to woo my brother into serving. And he ended up serving 8 years in the Air Force, and I certainly support him and all those who have served. But what happened, of course, was once they got my brother's name, they also got my name. And so they started calling me as I was a junior and senior in high school. How many have had that experience of being recruited toward military service? They used to be in high school, they would just show up and they'd have a table and they would tell you all the great things about serving and, you know, they didn't tell you all the other stuff. They just kind of sold themselves, right? So I had that brief encounter. I said, no, thank you. I'm going to go to college instead. And now, similarly, some of you may have been recruited for your athletic or intellectual ability to college, where maybe colleges were reaching out to you and saying, we'd love to have you be part of our campus. I did not have that experience. My experience of going to college and subsequently into seminary was I applied. I filled out an application form. I did the essays, and we take the tests, right, to get to college. You have to kind of sell yourself to the college. And then maybe if you're lucky or blessed, you get admitted to the college that you like. In seminary, it's the same kind of way, except you have to pass all of the sort of entrance exams for eligibility to serve in the church. In the case of Jesus, not only does he just say, follow me, Jesus seeks out his students, which was very unusual. In the time that Jesus lived, what was much more common is that students would apply to become disciples of a particular rabbi. They had to prove their credentials, that they had studied scripture, that they were good students, and that they were somehow capable. That's not what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't go to the local synagogue and ask the rabbi, who are your best students? Or the local Bible school. He doesn't say, give me the best you've got and I'll have them follow me. He goes, it says, to the Sea of Galilee, and finds two sets of brothers who were fishermen. They may have had some background, as most Jewish children would, in Scripture, but they were doing the family business. In fact, it says James and John were in the boat with their father, carrying out the family business, and Jesus says, follow me. He seeks them. And not because of their qualifications that maybe would have attracted other rabbis to seek them as their students. He seeks them out. And we're not really told why. Why did Jesus pick Simon and Andrew and James and John? But he picked them. And I would like to say that the act of calling these first disciples was the gift of faith, that the ability to trust Jesus is birthed from Jesus' own words, "Follow me, I will make you fish for people." Because I have no other explanation, as Amanda brought up, I have no other explanation of why someone who meets a stranger who says, "Follow me," there's no other explanation other than it's God's very word spoken into the spirit of these disciples that could explain why they go, "Where are you going? Follow you. Oh, can you come by next week? What are we doing? Who are you?" They say nothing. Jesus says, "Follow me," and they leave everything. This is a moment of the very presence of God entering into these four ordinary people. They are not extraordinary students. There's nothing about Peter, James, John, and Andrew that is remarkable. They are very much like you and I. But Jesus sees in them something that maybe no one else could see, that they had the potential, that they had the faith, that they had the heart. And when Jesus says, "Follow me," they do. And as they follow Jesus for the next 3 years, they go with Jesus as he's proclaiming the kingdom, curing people, speaking the good news to God's people, bringing hope and healing to where there's only pain and suffering. These disciples become witnesses to what God is doing in the world. Follow me. And they do. And then they become the leaders of the church. Peter becomes the rock upon which the church is built. And all of the disciples, not just the first four, but all become builders of the church, evangelists, following Jesus by going to the same places that he went, to where hearts are broken, lives need healing and restoration, and they bring God's very presence, God's good news to the people. Our call is the same. God calls you to follow Jesus, to follow where Jesus leads us to go. Not because we're the smartest or the bravest, not because we have got the Bible memorized, but because of the work of the Spirit in our lives. That when we follow, when we trust to go where Jesus nudges us to go, we discover not only who we are as we journey, as God's love shapes us and forms us, but we have the opportunity to be the very hands and feet of Christ in the world, to share God's love. And I don't know about you, but God's love is needed more now than I can't even imagine. Every day when I watch the news, I could hardly even think this week. It was so awful. And sometimes I get paralyzed when things seem so bad. And yet, we have the capacity in our relationships, at work, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, to be a spark, to be a light in a world filled with darkness, in what little way we can. And yet that little thing that we can do to be, whether it's acts of kindness, helping a stranger, offering forgiveness and mercy, working for justice and peace. The little things that we can do reverberate in our lives and beyond ourselves. Jesus says to the disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." God's plan of salvation is for the world, and God's net is big enough for every single person to be included, that God's net of love would be wrapped around us, and that we would look to make sure that everyone is included, that everyone knows of God's amazing love and grace, God's transformation. The disciples who follow Jesus after his simple invitation, their whole lives are changed and transformed. Our calling is the same. Jesus says, "Follow me." Let us do so with faith. Amen.